John chapter 9, verse 39. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said unto them, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remaineth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake. And that's all we'll read. We'd like to think maybe to get where we are in this gospel. In chapter 9, Jesus has just healed the man that was born blind. There he was, and Jesus met him. He made clay and anointed his eyes with it, told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. The man went and washed and came forth seeing. And this was a man that was blind from birth, never saw before. So they bring him to the Pharisees. They bring him to the Sanhedrin court. And we can see in the books of Moses, Exodus, Numbers, there were 70 elders that was appointed to be the leaders of the children of Israel. In the New Testament, they refer to them the Sanhedrin. They were the 70 elders, the 70 judges. They were the top of the top of the Jewish religion. And so they bring him to him, and they're investigating this. They already have problems with Jesus. They don't like his teaching. They don't like his gospel. They don't like what he's promoting. They're afraid it's going to take their clout and their position from them. So they're investigating this miracle. They interview him. They talk to his mom and dad and say, "Is this your son? Was he really born blind? How is it that he's seeing?" Be a great chapter. Maybe one of these days we'll get to look there and go through that. But as we come down to here, towards the end, they cast this man out of the synagogue. They excommunicate him. They throw him out. They say, "You can't come and worship God anymore." You know, that'd be a hard thing. But the Lord finds the man after they cast him out. And he asks him, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" And the man says, "Who is he that I may believe on him?" And Jesus said, "You've seen him, and it's he that talketh with thee." And the man believes. So here is a fella that they say of their own self. If you look in verse number 34, the Sanhedrin says, "You were altogether born in sins." Here's a man that in the eyes of the religious world, he was a nothing. He didn't deserve to even have part amongst these people. He was so far below them that they thought nothing of him. And here they were the ones that were at the top of the religious world. But look at how that the top, the elite, the religious are blinded to who the Lord Jesus is. Here's the 70 elders, the lawyers, the doctors of the law, and by that we mean the Word of God. They had given their life to study the Scriptures. And Jesus steps on the scene and they do not recognize him. But here's an ignorant man that was born in sins, a man that was born blind and had never seen before. God works this mighty work on him, and this man believes when all the elite do not. So how do you reconcile that? Well, the Lord Jesus says here, "For judgment I'm come. I'm come that there might be a separation, that there might be a distinguishing one from another. And it's not going to be according to the flesh. It's not going to be a judgment according to how we appear on the outside. But the Lord's judgment, the Lord's separation, is that of the heart of man. He's come that those which see might be made blind. Now let me ask you this. Is there anybody, spiritually speaking, that is born with the ability to see? Now in the flesh, I realize there are people born seeing, but we're talking about spiritually now. Every man that cometh forth of a woman, he's under that curse of Aaron from the garden. He is born in sin. He's conceived in iniquity. Man at his best state is altogether vanity, where we looked there just a day or two ago. Man is born under the prince of the power of the air. He's under the control of sin. He's born in darkness. There's not one person that's born with the ability to see of their self spiritually. But what you have here were these Jews, these people that thought that they knew everything. They thought that they had it all figured out. They would have said, yeah, we see, we understand the scriptures. We know who God is, and we know who Jesus is. He's a sinner. But you see, Jesus' teaching and His instruction was blinding them further. But to the ignorant, to those that were out of the way, to those that could not see, Jesus was giving the light of the gospel unto them. And you can see how this scripture ties together with the scripture where Jesus says, the whole need not a physician, only them that are sick. You see what He's saying there? Here was a people that had need. Here were sinners. Here were people that recognized that they were out of the will of God, that they needed grace and they needed help. That's who the Lord came to seek and save, that which is lost. But the whole, the people that were good of themselves, they didn't need a Savior. Well, you know what His coming did? It brought greater guilt upon them. So some of the Pharisees which heard Him said, are we blind also? Are you saying that I'm blind? Now that's man's reaction. Are you saying that I need to be saved? Are you saying that there's no way that look how good I am. Look how righteous that I am. That's what they're saying to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Savior that was sent of God to die for the sins of mankind. They're looking at the Lord and saying, are you saying I need something? Well, did they? Did they need something? Were they blind? Did they need sight? But you see how deceived that man is. You talk about in darkness, man's in such darkness that God sends His Son. He gives His life. He raises from the dead. God sends His gospel by the Spirit of God. We've got His written word, as Hoss was teaching about this morning. The Word of God provided for us for instruction and for guidance and to bring us to the feet of the Savior for eternal redemption and to escape the judgment and the wrath of God. And man looks at all that God has done and says, are you saying to me that I need something? You talk about blindness and darkness that man is in. Man is under the prince of the power of the air. So now we come to chapter 10, and this is where I'd like to look. And let's understand the picture that we've got. We've got a sheepfold. So in this day, they didn't have electric fence. They didn't have barbed wire fence. But the shepherds and the sheep, and maybe we should say this as well, that Old Testament way, you know what they offered? Every year at Passover, they offered lambs of the first year that were without blemish. Over and over again, they offer lambs, they offer rams, they offer goats. So they had to have sheep. They had to have flocks of sheep. And for these sheep, there had to be shepherds that were with them, that were caring for them. And so these shepherds, they would lead their flock. They would follow their shepherd. They would lead them to pasture. They would lead them to water. They would watch over and protect them. They would bring them back to safety. And in these cities, they had what was a sheepfold. It was an enclosed place, had one gate. There was a gate warden, a watcher that stood at that gate. And the shepherds would come and put their sheep in the sheepfold so they could go into town and get cleaned up or eat or sleep or whatever. And when the time came that they were going back out to pasture, they didn't get to go in and carry sheep out. But the gate warden would open the door, the shepherd would call, and the sheep that were his, because they had been raised with him, because he had been their leader, because he was their shepherd, when they heard his voice, and you know, I realize we're disconnected from that in a lot of ways, but I've seen one that Linda Gale and Vaughn fed with a bottle and raised. They could go to the fence and holler her name, and she had come every time at the sound of that call. Well, that's the way sheep are that were raised and protected and kept by a shepherd. He would come to the gate and call, and all the sheep that were his would come to his voice. But all the other sheep that were other shepherds, they would stay. They didn't know that shepherd. That wasn't their master, so they didn't come. So I think we can see the picture that the Lord is using to explain this to us. But he says here, "He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." So if you'll see this, if you can see that all of man that's born of a woman is born in sin. And maybe that's a hard thing to say, but let's say this, that Jesus Christ died for every man. There's not a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl that is not in need of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If one died for all, then we're all dead. All need salvation. If Jesus Christ's death was open to every race, tongue, nation, and people on the face of the earth, then know this, every nation, tongue, and people on the earth needed to be saved. They were in sin. They were in darkness. They were shut up here in the sheepfold. That's the picture that we've got. They're all together shut up in the sheepfold. Not just sheep, but people. Enclosed in by sin. Enclosed in by guilt. And you know, man says, well, I'm going to do better. And in a day or two, he's back to sin. Man says, I'm going to improve myself. But we just can't get loose of the sin that's got us entrapped and caught up. The devil is there and he's keeping us in, and we can't escape his power. The sheep is absolutely helpless of its own self. And so here they are. They're all shut up. And you know what we've got here? Here you've got the sheepfold, and instead of a shepherd coming to the door, you've got somebody climbing up over to get in. You know, if I drove by your house this afternoon late and I see somebody climbing in your window, or if you drive by my house and you see somebody climbing in the window, what are you going to think? You're going to maybe go back and check? They're entering in by a way that's not normal. They're entering in some other way. They've not been welcomed in. They don't have a key to that house. That's probably somebody that's trying to rob or to steal. Well, that's what he's saying here. Somebody that's entering in the sheepfold by trying to climb over the fence or to get around the guard, that's somebody that's a thief and a robber. So let's think about that just a couple different ways. Here's the Lord Jesus' sheepfold, and here's people trying to get in. You know the Lord, and he's going to say, I am the door of the sheep. You know, the Lord made a way for man to come into the fold of God. The Lord Jesus gave his life on the cross, shed his blood, and was resurrected. And God chose the foolishness of preaching, the call and drawing of the Holy Spirit to call man out of sin and into the light of the glorious kingdom of God. That is the means for man to be saved. It's that the Lord calls and the Lord draws, and man comes in obedience to the Word of God and yields himself to the Lord. Now, somebody that tries to get in some other way is no better than a thief or a robber. You think you're going to go around the way that the Lord has made? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? If you're at home and somebody's coming through your window tonight, are you going to welcome them in? Absolutely not. They mean us no good. They mean us no good. They're not here to help us. They mean to steal, to kill, and to destroy. They mean to cause havoc. And you know, those that would try to sneak in some other way to worm around the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are not going to be accepted by God Almighty. But I believe here we've got another picture. Here we've got these Pharisees that are teaching the law. They're teaching works. They're teaching another way to be saved. Is that not what's going on all over our world? In churches all over our country, salvation is being brought down. I mean, it's brought down to nothing. Salvation doesn't change a man. It doesn't change his life. It won't change his heart. All it is a little flippant decision made on a whim. Some man talks us into saying a few little words, and we say those and we're saved. It's well, you ought to be baptized and do good. We ought to do this and that and the other. And the salvation that the Lord laid out, that is through the gospel and by the Spirit of God, is cast to the side. Well, let me tell you this, friends. Paul says in the Galatians, if somebody comes preaching another gospel that you've not received, let him be accursed. Do you know what that man is? He's a thief and a robber. He's desiring to cause hurt and harm. Now think about this just for a minute. If there is, maybe we ought to say it this way, since there is one way that God provided for man to truly be saved. If you come some other way, following some other man, is that way going to lead to salvation? Now, you know what these thieves and robbers are? They're there first and foremost for their own good. There's no real care about your soul. There's no real care about your salvation. There's no real care about if you're really saved or not. What they'd like is just to get you to move so that they can say they had a move. Listen to this in 2 Peter chapter number 2, verse 1. There were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. You know what they're doing? They're sneaking in and they're teaching and they're preaching those things that do not line up with the Word of God. Friends, a salvation that does not line up with the Word of God is not salvation. Why, preacher, old so-and-so got me in that way. I tell you, if it ain't the way that the Lord Jesus made, that man was a thief and a robber, and he's done you hurt. He stole from you. He's deceived you. He's caused you to believe something that is not true. I tell you, would God that the Lord would wake us up, that we not follow a thief and a robber that's come to do harm to our soul. Listen, the Bible says in Romans, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you say this? Somebody that is serving the Lord should be teaching or preaching the truth. Should they ever compromise on the truth? What if it made you feel better? Should we compromise on the truth to make you feel better? Should we compromise the truth to make you feel more included? When should we compromise the truth of the gospel? It should never be compromised. The gospel should always be upheld, should always be proclaimed. But these that are teaching such, they serve not our Lord, but their own belly. Now I believe there are folks that are in it for money. They're in it for gain. But that's not so much in our countryside. You know what man's hungry for? For your admiration. For you to look up to them. You know what the Pharisees were hungry for? They wanted you to think highly of them. They wanted you to look at them and say, I want you to know there's a man that's God's man. Well, that's what goes on. A lot of times, man is willing to compromise the truth He's willing to pat people on the back and tell them they're all right. He's willing to dumb down salvation, to drum up the numbers, because he's looking for his gain and for his good, so that one day down the line, maybe we'll get some good out of this. But by good words and fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple. You know who's being deceived? Simple don't mean the idiots. Simple means those that don't know any better. You know, a little young'un, you put things over the plug in. You know why you do that? To protect them. Because not that they're going to shock themselves on purpose, but because they don't know any better. You're there to protect. That's the way people are spiritually. A man can come through and say, look, just say these words and all you've got to do is believe and you can be saved and you're going to go to heaven and don't ever doubt it and don't ever worry about it. And you know who's going to fall into that? People that do not know any better. And that's why you have people today that were saved 40 years ago. Their life has been in shambles ever since. They've never been any dedication to the Lord since the day they made their profession, but they believe and are convinced that God saved them. That is not salvation of the Bible. You know what that is? That's a thief and a robber and a deceiver that was in it for his own good. He was not worried about what happens to you. He was just worried about a number on that day. You talk about evil. That's evil of the highest degree there. Compromising the truth. That's of the devil. The thief and the robber. That is of the devil. But climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So here's somebody climbing in the window on one side of the house. And on the other, here's a man with the key to the front door, and he puts it in and unlocks it. Can you see the difference there? One of them doesn't belong there. One of them is not supposed to have access. One is a thief and a robber, and the other one has the key. He owns the place. That's his house. He has right to be there. Well, you see, the shepherd of the sheep, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the only shepherd that has access to the sheepfold. Everybody else and every other way, every other religious organization, every other religious teaching, every other way and means of salvation that does not match the Word of God is a thief and a robber, and it's of the devil, and he's out to steal your soul from you. He's out to steal the salvation and justification of God from you. He's out to blind you to the truth. He'd like for you to be so simple and deceived that you think you're saved when you're deceived and blinded. That you think you see when you've never saw a day in your life. That's hard to imagine naturally, ain't it? The blind man knew he was blind. But boy, spiritually, man is so blind and in darkness spiritually that he can't even realize that he's blind. But the one that comes by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. So this porter, he's the watchman. Maybe he's brought his sheep here, and maybe all the shepherds in the valley. They've all brought their sheep, and they've put them into this sheepfold, and the watchman is standing there at the gate. You know what his job is? He's paid by those shepherds to be on guard and to protect them and to keep the enemy from coming in and stealing from them. And so when one of the shepherds comes, I believe you could see it this way in our day. You give your car to a valet parker, and he gives you a ticket, and you give him your key. When you come back with that ticket, you know what that tells that man? That's your truck. You're not a thief. You're not trying to steal that. That truck belongs to you. That car belongs to you, and they're to give you that. So, in that way, here comes one of the shepherds. And the porter recognizes him and says, "Yep, you paid money, your sheep's in there. I'm going to open the door to you." Now, how is this spiritually? Well, if man shut up in sin, if he's in darkness of the devil, you know who's watching the gate, making sure nobody gets out? The devil is. Listen to this in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, and I've referred to this a few times, but I think it gives us a great picture of this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 3. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So what's the devil doing here? He's blinding the minds of them that are lost to prevent, in order that the light of the gospel would not shine unto them. You know, you think about it now, and just think with me logically. Is there any better gospel, any better good news than that the Lord Jesus has given Himself for sins? Is there any better good news that man can escape guilt? Man can escape sin? Man can escape hell and have eternal life in heaven with God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit? And it's all paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there any better news than that? But do you see how that man is? Man is so blind. The devil has got his eyes blinded to the gospel that prevents them from coming to the gospel. They can't see the good news. They can't see their condition. They can't see their end. The God of this world's blinded their minds. But in verse 6, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. You know what that's referencing? He's calling back here to in the very beginning. The earth was form and without void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And the Lord came on the scene. And you know what there was? There wasn't a light switch. I'll aggravate the boys sometimes. We'll go in a room, it's dark. I'll say, "Let there be light," and flip a switch. I know there's a source of light there. I'm not going to make it come out of nowhere, but I know the source and I know how to cut it on. Well, you know, God, there was no light bulb to turn on. There was no sun that was in the sky. There was no moon. There were no stars. Nothing else had been created. It was void. It was empty. It was without, and darkness covered. But the Word of God came and said, "Let there be light." And not because the sun started shining. That's not going to be till a day or two in creation. But simply because God said, "Let there be light," there was light that shone on the creation of God. So He's calling us back there. Now, the devil's got man in darkness. The devil has man blinded. But the same God that commanded light to shine out of darkness, and there was light without a source. It's daylight today because there's a source. The sun is shining. In the beginning, when God spoke, there was no way to explain it. That was the Word of God that brought that light. Well, listen here. "Hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So just as God comes in the very beginning, where there's all darkness and no source of light, God speaks and there's light and it's good. The same thing is what happens in men's hearts. Now the devil's been on guard their whole life. The devil's kept them blinded their whole life. They've never seen their need of salvation their entire life. They've never needed to repent. They've never been guilty in their eyes. The devil's had them down and blinded. But you know what happened one day? One day the porter was caused to get out of the way. The Lord came on the scene and He told the devil to get back, and He called unto me, and the light of the gospel shined in the depths of my heart. You see the call of God? The call of God comes. The devil can't resist Him. In the Gospel of John, I think Josh quoted it this morning. One of the Joshes quoted it. But the light shone in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You know what happens when we come in here tonight, and it's still going to be pretty daylight tonight, but when it's dark and you flip the light switch, there's not a battle that takes place. The darkness isn't fighting to maintain control. But in the presence of light, the darkness flees away. So that's the way that this gospel is. The devil can't fight to keep us in darkness when the Word of God comes to our hearts. When God says, "Let there be light," there is light. That's what people need today. They don't need the preacher to talk to them. They don't need to be talked into it. But if God come to their heart's door and He calls the devil to get out of the way and He spoke His word unto them and He said, "Let there be light," I tell you, they'd be able to see. They'd see their need of salvation and they'd come to the Savior. Listen. The God that said, "Let there be light," He's the same God that has spoke to these hearts. It's to this shepherd that the porter openeth. Who else is going to move the devil out of the way for a man to be able to see? Well, if we go back to chapter 9, John's wonderful at giving us a natural example to help us understand it. Here's a man that was born blind. He could not see out of his natural eyes from his mother's womb. Now you tell me, what doc today in 2024, what doc can you go to that a man that's born blind will be able to see? What about, we're so advanced, but boy, we ain't figured that cure out. Well, I tell you, man ain't figured out the cure for the soul either. I tell you what it is with man. It's impossible. There was only one that could cure a man that was born blind. There was only one that can open the eyes of a man that his eyes had never worked or operated as they should, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I tell you, the darkness that's in the soul of a man, there's only one that's able to clear that darkness, and it's the same Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's not another man that's able to do that job. There's not another one that's able to call for a man. We may call you to an altar. I may call you to come to me. I may call you to do better, but to call you out of darkness, that is beyond our ability to do that. It's of the Holy Spirit that calls and draws a man out of darkness into the Son of God. No man can come to me except my Father, which is in heaven, draw him. You see, it's Almighty God in heaven, God the Father, that's saying, "Let there be light," and that's drawing. Let's get back to this picture here. "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice." So you see the picture. Here's maybe, let's just say there's five shepherds and their flocks inside the sheepfold. And here comes one of the shepherds. He comes, the porter opens the gate up, and he calls, he says whatever his word is to his sheep. And there's something inside of his sheep that causes them to respond to the sound of that man's voice. You see how that is? It's natural in them. That when they hear his voice, their ears perk up. They say, "That's my shepherd, and I'm going for him." But what about the rest of the sheep? All of the sheep in there hear his voice, don't they? But only his sheep respond. So what can you say about that? Well, you know, the gospel was commanded to be preached far and wide, to every nation, to every tongue, to every kindred on the face of the earth. And we're called to preach the gospel to everyone that'll sit in our presence with an ear to hear. We're called to preach the gospel. But you know what I know by the Word of God? Do you know who's going to hear and respond? Though the gospel's went out, though there's been a pile of sheep hear it, do you know the ones that have responded? The ones that were His. And you can guarantee it. When his sheep hear His voice, you know what the Bible says? He calleth His own sheep by name and leadeth them out. So think about that just for a minute. He knows His sheep. He's going to go on to say all this in the rest of this chapter. He knows His sheep. His sheep know Him. And when He calls them, He calls them by name individually and effectually He calls them. It's more, you know, for us to come and have a number like this and there to be a gospel message. If God were to call everybody in here at the same time from the same message, that'd be one thing. But you know how God really calls, though? It's more personal than even that. It's God coming to each individual sheep. It's not just a call of the preacher's message. As my mouth speaks, I'm speaking to every man, woman, boy, and girl in this place. I'm trying to get across the message of the gospel to everybody that'll pay attention and hear. But you know the way the Holy Spirit calls? You know the way this shepherd calls? I tell you, I'd sit under the voice of a preacher for year after year after year. But one day the shepherd's voice, it came down into my soul. And he didn't call for all of the church. But he said, Joseph, I want you to come to me. He called me individually and He called me effectually. And you know what there was? When I received that call of God, there was something in me that stirred. I had a desire to move to the voice of my shepherd. That's this call. This call is one that's lively. It's one that's effectual. It's more than words of a man. And it's more than a religious motion. But this is that comes to the very individual soul by name. And He calls us out of darkness and into the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's working in the heart. So as those sheep that belong to that shepherd, though they may be asleep, though they may be eating and grazing, though they may be looking after their little ones, when the voice of the shepherd's heard, in them there's something that moves. Well, I tell you, when the voice of this shepherd speaks, not just any shepherd, the voice of the good shepherd, the voice of the one that loves the sheep, when this shepherd's voice is heard inside the heart of his sheep, their heart is stirred. And I tell you this, friends, I went from somebody, this is the God's truth, I'll just slow down and tell it. But the Lord brought me from somebody that said, I don't want to know about it, and I don't want to do anything about it, and I don't want to be any different. The Lord brought me from that man. And by His conviction, by His power, by His call in my heart, He got me to a place one Saturday night that I said, God, if You'll just call me in the morning, I'll go. If You'll speak to me and draw me, if I could hear Your voice one time, it doesn't matter who's there. It doesn't matter who's looking. I'll go and I'll bow myself to You. What was going on there? I tell you, the call of God was working effectually in me to bring me out of darkness into the dear Son of God. He was changing me, is what He was doing. So, just to make sure we've got it straight, there's sometimes you'll hear this, that they were His sheep because they responded to His call. I'm not trying to be confusing, but I just want to point you to this, that in this scripture, by what the Lord Jesus is saying here, they respond to His call because they're His sheep. There's something going on here before the shepherd ever calls. Maybe one day we'll be able to dig down and see all of that as it pieces together. But I want you to recognize that. The sheep hear His voice and He calls His own out by name. Is there a gospel message going to the world? There is a gospel message that is going to the world. The Lord Jesus has died as payment for sins that man could be saved. But do you know who's going to respond? His sheep that are called individually and by name. And it's not my job to call you by name. Not at all. We present the gospel. The Lord is drawing people individually and by name. And I'll know whether you're His sheep or not. I'll know. Because if you are, you'll respond to the gospel by the word of God. When He putteth forth, He calleth His own sheep by name and leadeth them out. So as they're called out of this, I want you to notice that the shepherd is not calling his sheep out of the sheepfold and just letting them go and run wild and do whatever they want. Everybody wants a God like that. You know, when I'm getting a speeding ticket, I wish there weren't no troopers on the highway. I wish there wasn't no speed limit, and I wish there wasn't a fine that goes with it. But you know, if you went down that road, and there wasn't no speed limits, and there wasn't no troopers to enforce those rules, can you imagine? It's bad enough right now. Can you imagine what it'd be like to drive to work then? See, man thinks he wants to be free. Man thinks he wants to be let go. I want the freedom to live and do as I please. Well, I tell you, that's not the freedom the Lord Jesus brings. But when this shepherd lets somebody out of darkness, he's the one that's going before them. Why, preacher, these sheep... I want you to think now. The sheep scattered on the hillside, do they belong to the Lord? Where are the Lord's sheep? By the Scripture, we're the Lord's sheep. He leadeth them out. He goeth before them. The sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. You know where you can find the Lord's sheep? Following the Lord. That's where they are. You know why that is? Because they know Him. Because He has effectually wrought in their heart. They've come out. He's leading them. He's going before them. You know what He's doing? He's protecting them. He's protecting them from all the evil that's round about. You know what David said of his own sheep there? He said, I was in the field with a sheep and the lion came and the bear came and I went after him and I took the sheep out of the bear's mouth. And when he rose up against me, I slew him with a sword. You know what the Lord Jesus is doing? He's going with His sheep. And when the lion tries to attack, when the lion would like to take down and destroy them that are weak, the Lord is there to protect His sheep. He's with them. He's leading them. He's guiding them and providing for them as they have need. So as you look now, as you look at our religious landscape, as you look at our church world, and you look at all these sheep that are just out doing whatever they want to, are they the Lord's sheep? By the Scripture, they're not the Lord's sheep. By the Scripture, the Lord's sheep, they know His voice, and the sheep follow Him to be in the same way with, to accompany. I'm not saying that there's never any getting out of line. But you know what the shepherd does when a sheep gets out of line? He takes his staff. He takes his rod. He takes his word. And he redirects them right back where they need to go. You know, in Hebrews he says, and we talked about this just a little while ago, about the father chastening his children and how that the Lord chastens children. It's the same thing. It's the same idea. The shepherd is there and he's with them. He's watching over them. He's providing for them. He's protecting them from the enemy. In Isaiah 40, listen to this verse. Isaiah 40, verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. You know what you've got in a flock? You've got some rams that are powerful, that are strong. You've got some young ewes that are strong. But you've got some little ones that just barely walk. There's little ones that their legs still ain't quite under them. They can't do what the strong ones does. There's older ewes. Maybe there's older rams. and they're not able to do. But you know what the shepherd's got in mind? He's got in mind every single one of his flock. And those that are too weak to go, he carries them up in his arms. You know, there's been times that I felt too weak to go on any farther, but the Lord was there to lift me up and give me strength. And I believe this, if you're his sheep, he'll be there to lift you up and give strength. But I tell you this, the shepherd, he's always watching over and he's always protecting and he's giving as needed to those that are his. But to the sheep that stay in the fold, to the sheep that do not respond to the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not his sheep. To the sheep that aren't following the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not his sheep either. The sheep that are his, they hear his word, they come out, and they follow him. And not just that, but a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. You know what you could do? You could go up there right now and you could holler for Linda Gale's sheep and it's not going to respond to your call. Doesn't know your voice. I've called for it before and she didn't respond to my voice. But you know what? The voice she knows and recognizes, she'll come to that every single time. It's nature. And it's instinct to that. Well, that's the way God's children are. They're not going to be led astray by some deceiver, by some devil. They don't recognize that voice. There's been times that I've heard testimonies or even preaching or singing or however. And the spirit that God put within me is unable to find any link with what's being done or what's being said. You know what that does? And I try to be careful. I try to be easy. But when I can't find any link up with what's going on, I begin to be wary of that. This may not be of my shepherd. I don't recognize that voice. And it's not the natural voice, but it's that responds down in the heart. When something's of God, you know what it does? It'll stir me in my heart. I can feel the linkage to that. You know what it is? It's of my shepherd. It's of the one that saved me. But let me tell you this, if there's no ability to link up in your soul with what's being done, you better beware lest you follow something that's of a stranger. Oh, there's only one stranger. He may come with many appearances. And you may not believe that, but the Bible says, be not astounded. The devil can make himself to appear as an angel of light. He may come with a suit and tie. He may come with the name of a reverend. He may come with a high opinion in the community. But if what he says does not line up with a scripture, if the Spirit of God in your heart cannot link up with it, we better be wary lest we follow somebody that's a stranger, somebody that does not belong to our shepherd, somebody that's seeking to harm our soul. Well, I tell you, we ought to be careful. John, 1 John, try the spirits, whether they are of God. See if it's the right thing. See if it's of the Lord. So there is that warning. But a stranger will they not follow, but will flee. Boy, the sheep, there's something in them. And a sheep is... they're not an intelligent creature. But there's some instinct in them to trust their shepherd and to not trust anybody else. I'm going to say spiritually, human beings, they're not too intelligent either. You know what the human being's nature is spiritually? To go away. To fall into sin, to depart from the gospel, to depart from the truth, to forsake God and to go our own way. That's the human being's nature. But in the Lord's sheep, there is something in them
that draws them to their shepherd. He's the one that saved them. He's the one that's given them eternal life. He's the one that's established them in the kingdom. He's the one that brought them out of darkness and into the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in them, there's an affinity. There's a love. There's a desire to follow Him. And when something does not line up with our master in them that are saved, there's something in our hearts that causes us to fear and to flee away from that stranger, recognizing this: if he's not of our shepherd, he's going to bring you hurt. If it's not the good shepherd, then what other shepherd is there? I mean, spiritually speaking, there's the prince of the power of the air, the spirit of disobedience, the devil, Satan, the old dragon, the serpent. There's him, and there's the good shepherd. So if it's not of God, though it looked right, though it felt right, but boy, what's the evidence of what went on? Was it really of God? Was it the shepherd that called us out? Or was it of man? Was it God that did a work in us? Or was it of the flesh? Was it the Spirit of God that stirred our hearts to come to the Lord? Or was it mankind that tried to get in some other way? Tried to by pressure. Tried to by psychology. Tried to guilt man to coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way into the kingdom of God, and it's by the call of God through the gospel. And that's not because I say so either. But it was the Lord that chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Any way other than that is a thief and a robber seeking to do you hurt.